This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
You may be seated. It is a great privilege to worship with you today on what will be for you a very important day in the 175th year of your life, the life of this congregation. So I stand in awe of the years of all of those who have gone before you, who've supported this church and its ministry. But I also stand among friends who are here that I have experienced, and neighbors. And what a joy it is to share our faith together. I check you out every Sunday. I ride just from our house on Rue des Roches-Blaves in front. I count the number of cars. And you're doing fine. I now no longer count the cars. I count the empty spaces, because there are less of those than there used to be, which is a wonderful indication of the direction that you're moving in the life of this community and in the life of your church family. Christy has been a dear and close friend for a number of years. Ted and I have worked together on city adventures as well as Rotary. And what a wonderful leader he will continue to prove himself to be as he moves closer and closer in the leadership of the church community, of this community. Today, you will sign cards of commitment. I personally feel it's a little better approach to view this as estimate of your giving, not as it's not a legal binding commitment. But it is an important one. And the Holy Scriptures speak of how important it is. For example, today we have heard read from the gospel. This is Jesus saying, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he will be with you forever." There are affirmations in Holy Scriptures like this particular statement throughout the pages of the New Testament, and that's probably why people refer to this as "hear the good news." John 14, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will send the Holy Spirit to you." Say it with me. If you love me, that's half good. If you love me, you will keep, and I will send to you the Holy Spirit. Time and time again in the New Testament, you hear both in the words of Jesus and the Apostle Paul saying, if you love me, you will keep these commandments. Here are the commandments, and you will keep them, and I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. It's a repetitive phrase that you hear in all places in the New Testament. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, those of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the good news that we encounter. John 14, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you by yourself. I will come to you. And then the wonderful affirmation, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe the words of Jesus, not mine. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours. Maybe we need to put God to the test on this. And that's what the Old Testament message said. Put me to the test, said God. The Old Testament reading, which Susan shared, was the Patrick shared. The Old Testament is the book of Malachi, written about 450 to 500 years before the birth of Christ. It was not a good time for Israel. It was probably not unlike the time they are in right now. And it was then that Malachi, it's a Hebrew word indicating the message or the messenger. And the message 500 years before the birth of Christ was this. The reason you have trouble is you're not, it's about money. You would expect that on Consecration Sunday, wouldn't you? It is about money. The reason you're in trouble is you're not bringing the tithe. Bring the full tithe into God's house. Put me to the test, the message, the messenger Malachi said. Put me to the test, says God, and see if I will not send upon you abundant blessings. Time and time again, these abundant blessings are offered to us through our faith. And this church for 175 years now has proclaimed that. Thanks be unto God for the message of St. John and all of those laymen and all of the priests who have gone before those who are here now. The Apostle Paul picked up on this same affirmation that if you're faithful, God will be faithful. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through him, the Christ, who strengthens me. Now, if you've come today wondering about various parts of your own life journey and wondering whether or not you're going to have strength to go on, listen to this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then again, Paul says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing will separate you from me. And then God will supply all of your needs. And then again, the words of our Lord, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received, and it will be yours. Now, folks, this is the good news. You've heard the good news. And you've heard the warning from Malachi, the Old Testament message. You put God to the test and see whether or not he will respond. Each of us have come to know God and whether or not we can really trust God in various kinds of ways. Some have experienced hardship in their life, and it's hard for them to trust God. It's hard to say, okay, whatever will be, I'll trust you and follow faithfully. Some have experienced disappointment. Others have experienced tragedy. It's not easy to trust in the mystery that we refer to as God. Some of you really put this to the test, and you've come through the fire. You've come through the water. And you know that this good news is an affirmation of your faith. I personally experience God's abundance, overflowing love, guidance when I thought there was no guidance. And more times than not, I have experienced that fulfillment through the church or through the life of the church. I personally experienced it in my family. My father was 9 years old when his father died of tuberculosis. He was 10 years old when his mother died. It was very difficult for him. But what he had not experienced, he lived between pillow and post with distant relatives. One of the stories that he shared with me was the time he had gone to Minneapolis to live with a distant cousin because it was the only place who would take a teenage boy in the family. And he said, you know, they put me on the train. They sent me back to Alabama, where I grew up. They sent me back to Alabama, and I can remember getting off the train and saying to myself and to God, I ain't never going back up north again. What he was looking for was stability in his life, security. And he began to find it in the church. And what he had never experienced as a young boy, he gave to his sons. And we were the beneficiaries of that. It's easy for me to trust because I've been surrounded by people. I grew up in the little Methodist church in the county seat, Black Belt area, outside of Selma, Alabama. Born in Selma, Alabama. But I can remember when I was a little boy, and my brother was about 2 years older than, 4 years older than I was, and we would sit on, just behind where Lou sits, we'd sit on about the second pew, and we had such nerve because we knew we were among friends in that church. And we had such nerve, we would cut up on the second pew of the church. My mother was an organist in the church, so she was at the organ, so I knew we were safe from our mother. But our dad was four rows behind and kept a close eye on us. And I can remember one day when we were cutting up and laughing in church and misbehaving, he walked down and picked myself up with one hand and my brother with the other, and our feet would not even hit the ground, and marched us out. And there was no air conditioning in our little country church, and he carried us out by the tree where the guys used to sit and smoke and talk and solve the problems of the world. And he took his belt there outside of the church and just wore us out. We cried and screamed like we were dying. We thought we were going to die at one point. And I can remember after the church service, we were outside, and he was still keeping an eye on us. And Mrs. Watson, an elderly member of our church, was an old maid school teacher. And she came out and got in my dad's face and said, if you ever spank these boys at this church again, I'm going to have your head, young man. I loved Mrs. Watson. I mean, she saved me more times than just that one. Thank God for all the Mrs. Watsons who have sat where you now sit. Thank God that maybe you're considering today being a Mrs. Watson. The children need you. Christy has shared with me what you're doing with children, and sometimes during the week when I ride by and I see the frustrated mothers and fathers getting out and dragging their children to your children's room. You're going in the right direction here. You're going in the right direction because the children need you. This broken world in which we live is filled with children who need Mrs. Watson's. And sometimes they're Episcopalian and sometimes they're Methodist, and Lord knows, probably some of them even Baptists. But Consecration Sunday is a time when you can decide to be a Mrs. Watson. Because there are children who need you. And you've got capabilities and you've got money to do it. Make things happen. And don't wait to make them happen. Go ahead and make them happen while you can make them happen. And that's what the message of the scripture today is all about. Thank heavens that I experienced early on that God fulfills His promises. I grew up in the church as a kid, and I went to a church college and a church university at the university at Emory in Atlanta, and the church has mothered me for a long time. I even met my wife Jane, who is here today, at Huntington College. And my goodness, she was a church person herself. And we married when we were 19, so we really grew up together. And in that whole process, I realized I had the church had not only given me a mate for life, it had given me a full-time driving instructor to sit beside me and tell me how to drive. And she's going strong at 62 years. God will fulfill His promises to us. Sometimes it's hard to figure it out. It's hard to see. But when He says to you, you can trust this, you need to take the step forward. Today is a day that you can take the step forward. Years ago, an Anglican priest by the name of John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement in 1739, gave three general rules to those who were believers. And honestly, I look back on those rules, and they have informed my own life journey for years now, and so many others. Number one, do no harm. Number two, do all the good you can, for as many as you can, for as long as you can. And number three, tend to the spiritual disciplines. Worship regularly. Take the sacrament. Read the scriptures. Do unto others. Make your financial offering. These are means of faith. You do these things, and they are the means of you growing in your own faith. My friends, I encourage you. I invite you. I implore you. Follow the commandments of God. Be obedient. Do no harm. Do all the good you can. Tend to the spiritual disciplines. And this starts with you signing a commitment card to continue the ministry of the Mrs. Watsons in this Episcopal church, in this part of town. Let us pray. Eternal God, You know us better than we know ourselves. But we do know what is right and good and faithful. Help us to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of those who have sat in this place before. Give us strength to believe and to act. And guide us always by Your Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen.